All right. Well, good to see you. And I know it's always good to get out. Right, Melba? Aren't you glad that you could get out? Melba called the other day and her drive was full of snow and sidewalks full of snow and just couldn't get out. And a lot of people like that. And couldn't even open her door. Yeah. And so many have found that to be true. And it has been a different kind of a winter, hasn't it? Just a real interesting kind of a winter. I keep saying it is Michigan. It is winter, and so we are supposed to get snow. I want you to take out this little insert. Did everybody get a bulletin? Take out your little insert. I want to look at that. That was in the Sword of the Lord this last month, and just ties in with what we're talking about. We are kind of finishing off lesson 29, so if you need lesson 29, raise your hand. We'll get you that, and we also have lesson 30 available. Lesson 29, the arising beast from the sea, talking about the Antichrist. Lesson 30, the assisting beast out of the earth, talking about the false prophet. So anybody need either one of those, 29 or 30? All right, up here, do you have those, Perry or Dale? Oh, okay, they're right there. Very good. Thank you. 29 and 30. Perry, over here, did somebody else have their hand up? All right. Yeah, both of them, Perry? Do you need one, Phyllis? We need a lesson 30. Phyllis needs lesson 30. Oh, we need several lesson 30s up here. Did we have enough of them? Oh.
This is all 30.
You mean Dale organized that? Wow. That's amazing. I'm thoroughly impressed. I don't see him. Dale, there's no 29s up here. All right. All right, so we just need a 30. Well, lesson 29, we're really just finishing the last thing, talking about his persecution, the persecution that the Antichrist is seen so clearly in the tribulation time. And so it is, we're covering Revelation 13, 7, really 7 through 10. And sorry about that. We thought we had enough. You have them, Dale? A 29 and a 30, or you have two 29s? 229. Did anybody need 29? John needs it. Who else? Anybody else? All right. Very good. I would sell you my 29, but anyway, I got to keep it. It's got all my notes on it. All right. And it is good to see Brother Harndon made it here. Crossed his creek. That little bridge is, I'm sure, exciting during the winter. Amen. It's good. Well, as you can tell, our roof is exciting. You say, oh, no, it looks a whole lot better. There's not as many buckets up today. We've had Washovia in during the week. They've had that whole section has been drying or trying to dry it. And it is their job to dry everything up after a leak like we had, and so they've been here all week. That's been we haven't been using it last or on Wednesday night. Most of you know we had the service downstairs. Of course, again we had a big snowstorm, and I think we had around 60 to 70 people, so we were able to be in the teen room. Didn't run our buses or anything because we had a basketball tournament. But anyway, they've been drying that out, and had especially the middle section. You'll see where the lights have been taken down because water was all in the lights and everything, which is never good. That's never a good thing. But they had that. They had a heater in there, and there's thousands of dollars worth of equipment back in the bookstore that they will set back up after tonight. I believe tonight they'll come in and set all that back up and try to dry that out. And the biggest problem that we're facing is they have to dry everything out, and there is I don't know how to explain this. I'm not going to try to explain it because I want to teach the Bible. It's tongue and groove, the ceiling out there, okay? And yeah. But it's they're beams. They're not 3/4 inch like most people would think with a cavity that could dry stuff out. The beams that are out there that we see as a ceiling, that is actually the deck of the roof. And that is makes it very unique because they have to dry that other side. So thank you, Don, for helping me with that. Because to dry that other side is then you have all your roofing, your tar and your stone and all that on top of that. And I believe there are 2 levels of that because somewhere along the line years ago, probably another level was put on. But anyway, and then you have ice from what they couldn't get off of there last week. There's still ice. So someday that'll melt. That'll be a problem. And then you have the tarp they put on last Sunday, the roofers put on. They put a tarp over all that, and it now has whatever snow, 10 inches maybe of snow on it. So it's exciting. It really is. Because, again, the insurance company is just trying to figure out exactly what they're going to do, and we're wanting them to do everything. Does that all make sense? Yeah. Yeah. So you want something to pray about and fast. If you ever fast over our roof. Don't go out there on the roof and fast, but well, you could, I guess, but it's not safe. Anyway, when you see this little insert, you'll recognize that we really don't have problems. Do you understand what I'm saying? We really do not have problems. Okay, a couple of buckets in the foyer and on the stairway. It's interesting that one drip is on the rail, the handrail. And we keep wiping, we keep cleaning that off, and it keeps dripping on that rail. And so probably don't use the rail on this side, which is obvious there is a bucket there. But again, these are such minor things compared to what other Christians are going through in other countries. And this ties in with the tribulation to give us some idea. And I just want to go ahead and get back into the scripture from Revelation 13 and verse 7. And the Antichrist, it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Again, God is allowing that and to overcome them. And God will allow that. And saints will be persecuted during the tribulation. All those that get saved during the tribulation, they will be persecuted in the probably the most massive persecution that has ever taken place. We know that the Jews are also being persecuted during that time. And it says, power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. The Antichrist will be a worldwide ruler like no other worldwide ruler has ever been. Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he had his worldwide kingdom. The Babylonian Empire, but it was nothing like what the Antichrist will have. Alexander the Great with the Greeks, and of course the Medes and Persians, and the Roman Empire. Roman Empire was very powerful, but nothing like what the Antichrist will have, and the power that he will exert. Because again, God is allowing this. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And so those who are lost, they will worship him. And if they are not lost, they will be persecuted most unto death. And so as we kind of ended last week talking about the persecution is going to drive people to worship the Antichrist. The persecution is designed, again, see how opposite it is from what we do and what Christianity stands for. We go soul winning. We have the fair tent. We have Vacation Bible School. We have our church services, our junior church. And we, in all these instances, we give out the gospel and give some type of an invitation with soul winning, give an opportunity for somebody to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. But again, nobody is made to do that. In fact, you cannot be made to get saved. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made. Somebody may, with their mouth, say anything. But if their heart is not changed, if they do not choose to be saved, then they won't be saved. So we could stand up here and we could hold guns on people and say, you will. All right, you come forward, you come forward, you come forward. It's more than just making a declaration with our mouth. Are you with me? It is our heart, and we can't make people get saved. Therefore, we don't try to make people get saved. You hear people, well, you know, those Baptists, they're pushy. And it may look that way, but a person with a burden, okay, let's say somebody's house is on fire and you're trying to get them to get out of their house, and maybe they're upstairs and they have the window open and you're yelling at them. Do you just quietly say, now, you know, if you choose to, you know, you might want to leave? Or do you scream and holler and yell and try to set up a ladder and do everything you can? Well, again, if we really believe what the Bible says, people are going to go to hell if they don't get saved. And so we try to get them saved, and we do everything we can. But in the tribulation time, the pressure will be to worship the Antichrist. And it will be huge, huge pressure. And imagine trying to escape. Imagine if you are a Christian. Now, there are Christians alive today who don't have to imagine. We imagine, okay, we get all bent out of shape because we had to clean snow off of our car. We had to scrape ice, you know, and we've done it many times. We get upset because we have buckets in our foyer and, you know, we don't know why is everything so difficult. We struggle because light bulbs burn out and, you know, maybe our washing machine doesn't do it and our car goes roar. But there are Christians in the world today who they would love to have our trouble. Because as our little insert that you have in your bulletin this morning, as it says on the 2014 World Watch List, these are the world's most dangerous countries for Christians. And to me, it shows the top 10 countries, and these are countries where Christians face threats, discrimination, kidnapping, violence, and death from the government or extremist groups within that country. And it lists specifically five countries that are the most dangerous place for Christians. And, these are things that are very well known in our world. There's probably many, many things we don't know. But North Korea, illegal to be a Christian or take part in a Christian activity. Three generations of a family may be imprisoned for one member owning a Bible. Think about that. An estimated 70,000 Christians held in prison labor camps. What are they guilty of? Being a Christian. Now, you know, again, illegal to be a Christian. What would you do? Now, this is the way it's going to be during the tribulation. And for us, we kind of have to put this in our imagination. But there have been Christians throughout history that they've been persecuted, just like in North Korea today, Somalia. And that's been in the news a lot lately. But Christianity associated with oppression from European colonial powers and a suggested death penalty for being a Christian. Just for being a Christian. Are you a Christian? Yes, I am. Then, you know, there are some areas where you will be executed because you are a Christian. Anti-Christian violence inflicted by militant groups who operate freely in the absence of an effective government. They would love to have our leaky roof because they'd love to have a roof. These people have to meet, you know, in a woods somewhere. They have to meet in places that are secret because their lives are at risk. What did they do? They're Christians. Wow. Again, anti-Christian violence against Somalia inflicted by militant groups who operate freely in the absence of an effective government. And so who's going to protect them? Nobody's going to protect them. Syria, and you know, now we get into areas where we would think this to be true, or we kind of know, tens of thousands of Christians displaced by threats and violence. So you own your home, and they find out you're a Christian, and they just tell you you need to leave your home, and they flee. They flee their homes, flee their jobs, flee any sense of security. City of Homs nearly cleared of 50 to 60,000 Christians, just, you know, threaten them, and so they have to leave. Can you imagine that? Churches bombed. Again, it makes, as I think about the headaches that we've had this week dealing with the roof, and so, but it makes that look so minor, doesn't it? It really does. Again, that's Syria. Iraq, Christians increasingly persecuted since first Gulf War in 1990. Kidnappings, threats, murders after the second Gulf War in 2003. Christian population at 25% of the 1990 level. Where are they all? Well, some flee, but many are killed. And we don't face that here yet. Praise God. Is it in our future? Well, I'm not sure it's in our future, this group that is here, but it's certainly in the future, because the tribulation, that's what it will be about. There will be unbelievable persecution. And then Afghanistan, government threatens death penalty to converts from Islam. So here you are, you're out soul winning, you lead a couple to the Lord, and they're Islamic, and they get saved. You show them the truth, and they get saved, and then they're executed, which I would assume you would be executed as well if you're found out. But Christians number 1,200 in the entire country of Afghanistan. There's no church buildings. What's that mean? That means they don't have a leaky roof. They don't have a roof. They hide to have church. Now, it's always been that way. Christians have all, there have always been persecution. We just don't see it. Shouldn't we get on our knees and thank God every day that we have our freedom? Every day. Shouldn't we, you know, instead of complaining about this, complain, okay, you know, it could be, this could happen. All right, the pews could be a little softer maybe. And it's just, oh, we are so spoiled, aren't we? And then, you know, other countries, Saudi Arabia, many of these, you know, Muslim areas, and do we have any Muslims around us anywhere near? Certainly, there are some that perhaps don't want to cut your jugular, but I can tell you this, there are people all around that just soon, you know, get rid of Christians right here, right now. And again, I only show you that, and I only show that to remind us that there are people we need to pray for in other countries. India is, I mean, they're just all over. There are areas where Christians are persecuted, and their thing they did wrong, oh, they trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're Christians. In the tribulation, it will be just like that. Trying to escape that persecution, again, it is hard for us to imagine. But especially in this day and age, even if you could escape, even if you could hide during the tribulation, which I'm going to tell you why I think that's going to be very difficult, but there's going to be that point, which we'll talk about with the false prophet, where you can't buy anything, can't buy or sell. And so even if you physically are able to evade whatever detection there is, you will not be able to buy or sell, because you have to have the mark that the Bible talks about in the Scripture. Now, here's the thing. We all like technology. We're, you know, well, we, not all of us. Dale Stewart doesn't like technology. He has backslidden a couple times. I've seen him you know, talking on, somebody else's cell phone. I think he used David's one time, and Dave gave him a hard time. Anyway, Dale, his wife, though, knows all that stuff. And we like it, don't we? I mean, we do. We have our smartphones. My phone is smarter than I am, I'm convinced, because it fakes me out often. But we like all that. We like the technology and all these different things. We like, how many of you have OnStar, TomTom? You have some kind of GPS with your car. Now, I don't have it in the van, but Brenda has it in her car. If I didn't have it, you know, I have it on my phone. How many of you have it on your phone? You have a map or some type of GPS on your phone. You don't want to raise your hand, do you? You think there's a guillotine set up. No, we're not going to chop off any heads today. But I'm just curious about that. We have, how many of you have an iPad, an iPhone, you know, some kind of a smart device, kind of a thing like that? Sharon, do you know how to use that thing?
I have an iPad. I use it, you know, minimally.
Minimally? All right, very good. How many of you have internet? You have access to internet connection. Okay, just about everybody does. And you almost, I mean, it's going to be, I think, where we all will. And, you know, your computer is going to be hooked into that. You're going to plug your iPad into that. You're going to plug your iPhone or whatever device you may have. And those things get all connected. And stuff is just going to happen. It is happening, you know, and I don't even understand. Don would know more about it, certainly, than I do. But I just know these things are happening. Now, here's the thing. Satan, the Antichrist, who is empowered by the dragon, the Bible says here in Revelation, which is Satan. Understand, Satan is not omniscient. He is not all-knowing. Okay, Satan is, he does not know what you're thinking. God does, Satan doesn't. Okay, we do need to understand that in light of the tribulation time. And it was something that confounded people. If you can imagine reading the Bible years ago and dealing with the mark of the beast and not being able to buy and sell and all these kinds of things, it would have been very complicated. But because anybody who studies their Bible knows that Satan is not omniscient. He's not all-knowing. But here's, that means he cannot read your mind, all right? Like God knows our thoughts, Satan does not. But here's the thing, we are giving out all kinds of information about ourselves. We give it out day in and day out. We are producing just this huge amount of information about ourselves that is going out, and I promise you, Satan, the Antichrist, the government of that day, they are going to have that all packaged about every human being on the face of the earth. They are going to know so many things. You've heard of advertising that is going to be geared to you, where you'll walk in a room, perhaps, and all of a sudden, all the advertising is things you're interested in. You know, all the advertising is, you know, it's your brand that you buy. And initially you may think, how did they know? Because they're tracking everything you do. And all that information, because of computers, all that information is being stockpiled. And how will you hide during the tribulation? Again, if you're saved, you're not going to be there. I understand that. But as we study this scripture, we need to understand that we are giving out tons of information. We are, you know, doesn't it amaze you when your computer, what popped up for me the other day? Something, I think I was looking at price. Oh, I know, Brother Chase. We're talking about the senior trip to Washington, D.C., and we were looking up different things. And I use Priceline a lot, and so I looked at Priceline, just the possibility of motels or something like that. And I don't know, it was 2 hours later, I got an email from Priceline that just said something about still wanting a place in Washington, D.C., and it's like, I doubt that a human being had anything to do with that. It's all programmed, and it all just is, and it's just information. information. Every now and then, I searched different times, different places, and every now and then I'll get an email or I'll get a pop-up that's what amazes me, is those pop-ups that'll just show up all of a sudden. It'll be an area that I looked at like 3 weeks ago or a month ago or even last year. It's just, we're giving all that out. Okay, we do that. If you shop online, they know what you're buying. They're tracking all that stuff. Somebody, I think it was last year, somebody got all upset because they said, hey, it's nobody's business what I put on Facebook. I just laugh because you're the one that put it on there. And what do you mean it's nobody's business? It's everybody's business because everybody has access. Well, I don't know how all that works, but the point is, they are gathering all this information. How many of you have received a phone call, in the last month, a survey? Anybody? Look at that. And we did. We had this survey thing. What are they doing? They're getting information. You say, well, it wasn't very personal. It's just different stuff. And everything, they have their reason for it, and they're gathering information. The doctor's office now with the new healthcare, we're being asked all kinds of questions. Has anybody been asked? There was a letter to the editor. I think I mentioned this the person was asked if they own guns. Has anybody been asked yet if you own guns at your doctor's office? This person was asked, "Do you own guns? Do you lock your guns up?" I don't remember some of the other questions. Do you wear seat belts? I think was a question, and the guy said, "Hey, wait a minute. What does me owning a gun have to do with my gallbladder?" Because that's what the person and the doctor said. I'm sorry, we have to ask these questions or we don't get paid. Again, they're just keeping track of all those kinds of things, and random polls of different kinds to find out how you vote. I got a call the other day, something about, are you Republican or Democrat, and something, several other kind of weird questions. Recently I got a phone call, and it said, we have received information that your computer is not working right. We need information to get this fixed. And I laughed because we don't have the internet at our house. So again, they, just phishing, just trying to get information. Who knows? That was probably going to, who knows what that. But again, computer systems are storing what you like, what you don't like. They're storing your frequent searches. They're tracking your phone calls, texts, all those kind of things can be looked at, can be brought up. GPS tracks where you go, what you do. Think about that. Your car, the GPS in it, your cell phone. I mean, people, this is all being kept. Now, you say, well, I don't care. And I've told Glenn several, I said, I don't go anywhere that I'm ashamed of. I don't go anywhere but the point is, this is how it's going to happen during the tribulation, how there will be such a chokehold on people. During the tribulation, there will be, there is not going to be a way to escape. And, how many people have cell phones? So many people have cell phones today. I mean, there was a day, obviously, we talk to the teenagers about dial phones, remember those? And they just look at you, huh? And you talk about a phone that's plugged in the wall, and they just kind of, what? You can't take it with you? No, there was a day you couldn't take it with you. And remember bag phones? Anybody remember those? And, that was the greatest thing in the world. And the big phone like this and had an antenna that was like that. And you're, hello, yes, this is the new modern thing. But now they're so inexpensive, everybody has them. Poor people have them. And again, all of that is, these tiny little computer chips are making it possible. If you have a credit card, driver's license. I think our driver's license have computer chips on them now? It's a magnetic strip, yeah. What's on there? Do you know what's on there? Yeah, see? Oh, yeah. And we all have them. These church price saver cards. They are what they are. They're not dangerous in any way. Anyway, but we live in a day of information gathering, and I believe it all points to the day of the tribulation and where there will literally be a chokehold on people, and all of it will be used to persecute people and to punish people. And that's what it comes down. You know, that's exactly what it comes down to. In verse 10, you know, it goes on. And in verse 9, if any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints, because God will deal with the Antichrist. But Christians in that day, they will have to trust the Lord. The patience, they will have to remain under. They will have to have steadfast endurance in that day. And most of them will die, as we've learned from the book of Revelation. Most of them will die of having their head cut off. Many will. And again, it will not be sneaky. It will not be tricky. They will decide. I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I will not deny Him. And they will have their head chopped off. And that will be the day of the tribulation. It will be a terrible, terrible time. All at the command of the Antichrist. And, you know, God says, you know, the patience and the faith, trusting of the saints. And we go back to Romans 12, 19, and we have to know this to be true. And certainly Satan has done his number in many of our lives. But you know, as we think about it, we're so privileged, really, to be Americans and to have the Lord as our God here in America. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And all the persecution, I thought about that little insert. You know, all the things that are going on in our world today, and Christians that just love God, they just love God. They just want to read their Bible. They want to pray. They want to talk about the Lord Jesus and sing Amazing Grace and Victory in Jesus like we're going to do and like we can do any day that we want to. And these people are massacred in other countries today. And God says, I will deal with that one day. And it is going to be a wonderful day, you know, when Satan is cast into the lake of fire and the Antichrist. And it is going to be a wonderful day. And so we move on to lesson 30 and the assisting beast out of the earth. And our memory verse, Revelation 13, 16 and 17, will not do that today, but we will next week, and we'll really start on this. But notice what it says in Revelation 13. It says that, verse 11, I beheld another beast coming up. It's another beast. And so just as we talked about the Antichrist, I guess we need an offering, don't we? Is that what you're trying to remind me of, Perry? Okay. Yeah, I always forget. Of all the things, when a pastor forgets the offering, it's pitiful. But go ahead and just pass those plates around, and that'll be good. But notice it's another beast. But this one comes up out of the earth, and he has two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. This is the false prophet, is how we refer to him. And this false prophet, he represents religion. We have to understand this is nothing new, folks. Nothing new. False Christs. False prophets, religious, false religion. And so he comes up and has a very, very, very key part in the tribulation time. And so we'll study that and talk about that starting next week. But just as a review, chapters 12 and 13, which we've been on quite a while, we have seven key characters. Again, these are not by time. God didn't give them to us as in order of time of how they appear, but they are key in the book of Revelation, and they are going to be key during the tribulation. And the first one was the woman, which is Israel. The second is the dragon, which is Satan. The third is the child, which is Jesus. The fourth is Michael, the archangel. The fifth is the remnant, which are saved Jews. The sixth is the Antichrist, which is the beast out of the sea. And the seventh is the false prophet, which is the beast of the earth. And this is, again, these are not in any kind of order. They just are presented to us and taught to us by the Word of God according to how God wanted us to see them and their appearance. But very, very key during the tribulation. Again, Michael the archangel. Let's be reminded, and I talked about this last week. Okay, the dragon, the Antichrist, they look pretty powerful. Looks powerful. Just remember this. Michael and his angels cast the devil out of heaven. And we saw that in this passage. And so for all the power that God allows them to have, and even what we see today, God allows things to take place, and he allows things in your life that may not be what you like. It may not be what we think is good. But if God allows it, then it is exactly what we need. And that includes snow and leaky roofs and our cars not starting and headaches. Amen.